Hey guys, it's Sammy
and Robbie
back again to tell you about another upcoming con.
And we're super excited about this one.
Mm-hmm. It's another Indiana one. This one is PopCon, Indie PopCon to be exact. And it's going to be in Indianapolis, again at the Convention Center.
Indiana Convention Center.
Right in downtown Indianapolis. And Robbie will be there April 26th through the 28th.
Yes. We were just at the Indiana Comic-Con, so if you missed us, you get a chance to meet us again at PopCon.
Yes, well, at least Robbie.
At least me. Ashley will be there.
Oh, yeah, Ashley will be there. That's an exciting thing.
Ashley will be there, so you get to meet a lot of us on the network.
Yeah, two-thirds.
Two-thirds of it, yes.
There you go. Yeah.
So if you're coming to the show, please stop by the Limitless Broadcasting booth. We're always excited to see you.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see you guys at the show.
Bye.
Bye. You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
What's your favorite scary movie?
What's the boogeyman?
You hang up on me again, I'll cut you like a fish, understand?
It's showtime.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast. We are your hosts. I am Robbie.
And I'm Sammy.
Before we jump into today's episode, got some things to tell you. We will be at the Indiana Comic-Con convention March 22nd through the 24th.
That's in Indianapolis,
That's
Indiana.
That's in Indiana, yes. And then we're in the next convention we're going to be at is Spokala, and that's in Tampa. That's April 5th through the 7th in Tampa.
Can't wait.
Also, we want to talk to you about one of our newest podcast shows. It's called Rant Radio. If you guys like to go on rants and tangents, please give us a call. We'd love to hear you about it. The number is 844-857-7268. The best rant will win $1,000.
Very cool.
We have a show sponsor, courtesy of Limitless Broadcasting Company. So if you find that intriguing, happy ranting, and let the best person win.
Absolutely.
So let's jump into today's episode.
All right. You ready for some more Ghostbusters?
Yes.
We're continuing on our series with Ghostbusters 2 today.
Yes, we are.
Let's do a quick summary to start.
Okay.
The discovery of a massive river of ectoplasm and a resurgence of spectral activity allows the staff of the Ghostbusters to revive the business. Because they are not together at the beginning of this movie.
They're not doing too hot.
No, no. Things have not been going well for them in the last 5 years since we last saw them. We do have some taglines, not quite as many as the original. Sorry to say, because the original had some pretty awesome ones and a lot. But we've got a couple.
Okay.
First one, be ready to believe us. I do like the twist because, you know, we're ready to believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they twist it. I do actually like that. Guess who's coming to save the world again?
That's okay.
It's not bad. We're back.
I like that.
That's a good summary. The superstars of the supernatural are back. That's a lot. I like the alliteration. I'm always a big alliteration person, but. And to play off of that, the superstars of the supernatural are back. And this time, it's no marshmallow roast. That's
okay.
I
like that one.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. All right. So this movie is rated PG. It fits in the comedy, fantasy, and adventure genre. Director Ivan Reitman is back. He's also a producer on this one. And again, writers, we've got Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis once again.
I didn't know Harold Ramis wrote this as well.
He always helps tweak the story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Keep going.
This movie came out June 16, 1989.
Okay.
And its box office gross was $110.4 million. So it was actually down from the first one. But that happens a lot with sequels, right?
Yes.
Unfortunately. Oop.
Sorry. Our dog is under the table trying to...
Yeah, loves to run into things. because he's large. All right, runtime is 1 hour and 48 minutes, and it was distributed by Columbia Pictures, and the production company was also Columbia Pictures. So I do have some trivia for you. So in the years between Ghostbusters 1984 and this film, the real Ghostbusters came out in 1986. So this was a cartoon.
Okay.
That came out in between. It introduced the idea that Slimer was living at the firehouse as the Ghostbusters' pet. And because the original film and the cartoon series were so popular with children, that's why they put Slimer in this film.
Gotcha.
So he wasn't really planned to be like a recurring character coming back, but because of the cartoon, he did make an appearance.
Gotcha.
And to go a little bit more in depth about the cartoon series, because I don't really know much about it.
I didn't watch it. Did you?
I don't know if I've ever seen any episodes of it, to be honest with you. Keep in mind, though, it came out in 1986 and I was not born yet. So
that's probably why.
Could also be part of the problem. The cartoon series follows the continuing adventures of the four Ghostbusters, their secretary Janine, their accountant Lewis, and their mascot Slimer, as they chase and capture rogue spooks, specters, spirits, and ghosts around New York City and various other areas of the world. So they did not use the original actors for the voices of the characters.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why?
Peter Venkman in seasons 1 and 2 was played by Lorenzo Music. And then in seasons 3 through 7, it was Dave Coulier from Full House.
From Full House? Wow.
Who knew?
Who knew?
I was just like, well, I'm definitely going to bring that up. Maurice LaMarche played Egon. Frank Welker played Ray Slimer and the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man. Mayor Lenny Klotch, Manx, and Scareface. So he was a lot of characters, Frank. He was put in the work. Arsenio Hall was Winston in seasons 1 through 3.
Really?
I thought that was very
cool. That's pretty cool.
And then Buster Jones took over for seasons 4 through 7.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, Ernie Hudson was the only actor from the films who auditioned to play his character in the series. But as I just said, they gave it to Arsenio instead.
That's terrible.
I felt kind of bad.
I would have been like, one of the Ghostbusters is here. Why don't we just give it to him?
I was like, did Ernie not play himself well enough? I don't know what happened. But I guess voice acting is a bit different from regular acting. So
yes.
I don't know. Maybe it didn't translate well. This cartoon series originally aired on ABC for its full run, except for the second season, which ran in syndication at the same time as the third season ran on ABC.
I'm assuming there's 7 seasons.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what it looks like.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
How many episodes in a season? 24?
I didn't do that much research.
Okay.
You always love to ask like the one question for something I didn't look up. Do this to me on the Pixie Dust Twins too.
What did I do?
You're always like, oh, are they still acting? Are they still? And none of us know. We don't know. We don't look these things up.
Okay.
You know.
Sorry, I want you to be better.
Rude. Anyway. So to celebrate the upcoming release of Ghostbusters Afterlife, both the real Ghostbusters and the other cartoon called Extreme Ghostbusters were released onto the official Ghostbusters YouTube channel.
Oh, okay.
So you can go watch it there.
We can go watch it there.
So interested in what's going on with it.
I didn't know Dave Coulier from Full House actually had another job. I thought he was from Full House.
Peter Venkman, so who knew? Yeah. So to tie back into the movie, not only we've already talked about Slimer, but Janine's appearance was significantly changed from Ghostbusters 1984 to conform with her animated counterpart in the real Ghostbusters. So you notice how Janine she looks different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the hair color, everything. It's because of the cartoon version of her. So
that
they matched her to that.
Makes more sense.
And also because the cartoon was so popular among children, Ivan Reitman, Dan Aykroyd, and Harold Ramis made a conscious effort to tone down the adult innuendo and behaviors from the Ghostbusters. So all of the Ghostbusters gave up smoking in this movie, except for a few scenes where Ray has a cigar or pipe in his hand or in his mouth. And the ghosts took on appearances closer to those in the animated series rather than the more frightening effects of the first film.
What do you think about that?
I think it's interesting. I mean, I get it and I don't get it. You know, if you're going to have a lot more children interested in the movie, how you want to play to that so that parents feel comfortable, mm-hmm. right? Bringing the kids, you make more money that way, more tickets sold.
Right.
But also, I mean, having known your history and my history with horror and talking to so many people at this point who also love horror, a lot of kids are fine.
Yeah.
If it's kind of creepy, they're okay. They're right. Not scarred for life. They made it through it. In fact, probably loved it more because it was so creepy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I feel like I said, I get it, but I also don't know that it was super necessary to tone it down.
Even with the whole smoking thing, even if somebody's smoking in a scene, I'm not going to run out afterwards and buy a pack of cigarettes and be like, today's a true. Good day.
Yeah.
To start lighting up.
But there may be some kids who would do that. So I can kind of, to a certain extent, understand that. And
I could see it. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I understand what you're saying.
I getcha.
Mm-hmm. So while the role of Viggo was played by Wilhelm von Homburg, all of his lines were actually dubbed by Max von Sydow. And nobody told the actor. So Wilhelm left the premiere in anger when he found out.
I would too.
Finding out that all of your lines were dubbed at the premiere.
Yeah, that would.
Yikes.
Did he still get paid though?
Well, I mean, he still acted in it. He was the physical being of Viggo, so yes. But his voice was dubbed. So, yikes.
That's the monster in it.
The painting.
The painting.
Well, yeah,
okay.
I guess, yeah, he's the monster too.
I can understand why he would leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would be upset too. The kid who tells Ray that, according to his dad, the Ghostbusters are full of crap is played by Jason Reitman, who's the son of director Ivan Reitman. And he went on to direct Juno, Up in the Air, and Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Juno? That was a terrible movie.
You didn't like Juno?
No.
Why? Because Michael Cera's in it.
No, I like Michael Cera. I guess that's for another podcast. You can join into Robbie Reviews, and I'll cover that one.
Juno?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to be on that. And let's bring Marvin on, too, because he probably hates Juno just like you do. Because he hates everything. Reitman's daughter also makes an appearance. Her name is Catherine, and she plays the girl with the puppy in Egon's lab.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that either. I thought that was fun. And there were several factors that contributed to the 5-year gap between the original and the sequel. First of all, Bill Murray was on an extended sabbatical from acting and was angered by New Columbia head David Putnam, because David Putnam referred to Bill Murray as an actor who makes millions off movies but gives nothing back to his art.
Wow. I couldn't understand why he'd be upset.
I feel like that's a lot. Okay. If you want to say that in private, maybe do that. But to just like make it so that it gets back to Bill Murray and people know that you said that, especially when we know how popular Bill Murray was around this time. I mean, he's still popular.
You don't
everyone
think
knows
Bill Murray.
I'm saying now, yes, everyone knows who Bill Murray is. But around the 80s and 90s.
Oh, he was at the height of his career.
In the Pixie Dust Twins right now, we are doing some late 80s movies and 90s movies. That's basically what we're doing for all of 2024. And do you know how many times Bill Murray comes up on the list as possible actors who they were gonna cast, ones who, you know, screened for the part,
all of them,
people they wanted? Bill Murray is in so many of these.
So he's in pretty much all of them.
Yes, we laugh actually about how much we see Bill Murray's name come up, because a lot of them we also think Bill Murray would not have enjoyed being in, but just saying.
Okay.
So Putnam also resented the blockbuster films like the original that his studio hit big with in the 80s. So Putnam kind of sounds like an idiot.
Well, no wonder Columbia Pictures was sold.
Well, good news. Putnam was fired in 1987, and his replacement, Don Steele, made the Ghostbusters sequel a priority. Michael Ovitz, who represented Bill Murray, Harold Ramis, and Ivan Reitman at the Creative Artists Agency, arranged a meeting in early 1988 to smooth the tensions and reservations that the four of them had, you know, in the ensuing years after the original success. And that worked. So then they started production shortly after the 1988 Writers Guild of America strike.
That's what's up.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was all this Putnam ass that kind of really screwed things up. like, let's just piss off one of the main stars of the movie.
And let's have him come back.
That's ridiculous. The birthday party scene was shot on the unused third floor of the LA Fire Station number 23. And we had talked about that's where the interiors of Ghostbusters HQ were filmed. So it was on the third floor. Okay. Same building. The large Vigo painting is actually a photograph, and it hangs at the offices of Industrial Light and Magic.
That's pretty cool.
I would not want to look at that thing.
That's
although they probably have much weirder things there, but I agree that it's creepy. That's
George Lucas's
Industrial Light and Magic
production company.
It's super creepy.
That's actually really cool.
I think it's cool they kept it, but I would not want to look at that painting. When Peter arrives at Ray's occult bookstore, pretending to be a strange customer looking for a particular book. Did you know there was more to the joke?
No.
So the gag was actually intended to be that Peter had previously made a prank phone call to Ray asking for the book. And then when he shows up, he realizes that Venkman was the one who made the call earlier. So we were missing like a whole scene that would have kind of tied into it, you know, where he's calling and pranking Ray at the bookstore.
I think on one of the scenes, he's actually on the phone and somebody's calling about a book.
But we never get to hear this actual joke. So yeah, that could have been part of it, but it was not used in the final edit of the film. So
for time? Is that why?
I don't know. They didn't say.
Okay.
Should have looked it up, obviously.
Clearly, I was going to ask you the questions.
I should have known. A scene where the patrons run out of a movie theater as slime oozes from the area has Cannibal Girls from 1973, like up on the... what do you call it? The marquee.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie actually starred Eugene Levy and Andrea Martin. Okay. That film was one of Ivan Reitman's first films as a director.
Okay.
That's an homage to his.
That's pretty cool.
No idea. Did not realize that. The main bad guy is Viggo von Homburg Deutschendorf.
Okay.
That's his full name. And I'm going to really struggle through this. So, I don't know if you knew this, but William T. Deutschendorf and Henry J. Deutschendorf II, Lord, play Oscar. So, they play the baby. And they are nephews of John Denver, whose real name was Henry J. Deutschendorf.
Okay.
And that was a big struggle for me. And I knew it was going to be when I got to this, but... anyway, I didn't know that about John Denver. Now you know about John Denver and his nephews are the babies.
So that's pretty cool.
That's essentially where we're at.
Well, you were saying that Bill Murray's brother is actually in the...
I'm getting there.
Okay.
Jeez Louise, we will get to that. Okay, I've got a whole list of people who show up in the movie. Okay. Venkman stops traffic as they cross the street, and apparently Dan Aykroyd said that he has seen Bill Murray do that in real life, that he'll just get out and direct traffic. So I guess it was like real life and, you know,
I could
brought
see
it
that.
To the art, but it just makes me laugh to imagine Bill Murray just walking out in front of you.
Have you heard those stories that Bill Murray just pops up places
weddings
and everything?
I believe that he would show up in the middle of the street.
But it's Bill Murray. You're going to be like, oh my God, that's Bill Murray.
I would for sure be like, you are welcome to sit down and join us.
Absolutely.
Please do, Bill Murray. There's newspaper front pages from the original Ghostbusters that are visible in Peter's apartment, including the USA Today front page. Each one is framed on his wall, and they are most visible when Dana is still wrapped in a towel after getting out of the shower, and Peter is telling her about finding the slime residue in her apartment. So there's even more newspapers and magazine covers from the montage scene in the first film that can be spotted on the back wall at the Ghostbusters headquarters when Janine is preparing to close up. So they
okay.
I thought that was
that's
fun.
Pretty cool.
They keep all those like news articles and stuff because I feel like you would.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
I'd want to keep that too.
You get on the USA Today, I'm keeping that forever.
That. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
That's going to will to my kids.
Mm-hmm. And I tried to remember to watch for this and I did not. But at the 2:50 mark, as the Ecto-1 makes a left-hand turn, you can actually notice that director Ivan Reitman is driving the car.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't see that either.
I forgot to look for it when I rewatched it. And this movie grossed $29 million domestically in its opening weekend, which was the biggest opening weekend gross of all time, narrowly breaking the record set by Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade 3 weeks prior.
Okay.
So it was still pretty popular.
Yeah.
All right, now we'll get to our other people that we know in the movie, guest stars.
Okay, why don't you give me this that side ahead. Eye?
So Brian Doyle Murray is a psychiatrist at the mental hospital, and he is Bill Murray's brother. I had no fucking clue, and it makes me feel good that you didn't know.
How do you think it is growing up with Bill Murray?
I don't know. I can't imagine, but I had no, and we have seen Brian Doyle Murray. I mean, he has been in a lot of things.
Have you ever seen the movie distinct. What About Bob? He plays the psychiatrist, and Bill Murray is his brother or a patient in that.
Well, that's probably why they were in the movie together.
It makes more sense now. No. It makes more sense now.
But he's been in so many movies that I love and shows, and I'm just like, I had no idea you were brothers.
I honestly had no idea.
There's either. A whole gaggle of siblings. I looked it up, and one of their sisters is a nun.
Is a nun?
She is a nun.
That's like went the total opposite way, Hollywood compared to being a nun.
Just fascinating. But there's a whole gaggle of them. You should look it up sometime.
Yeah. I will. How many are there?
I don't know. There's like at least five or something. Maybe there's a lot of them.
Maybe they are Mormons.
I don't know. I didn't look that up. Well, she's a nun. Do Mormons have Mormons?
You're right. Maybe.
They don't. That's the thing, right?
No. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Moving on. Bobby Brown is the doorman at Gracie Mansion when the Ghostbusters meet the mayor.
Is he like, do you have another one of those Ectopat?
Right.
That was him?
Yeah.
That makes so more young. Sense.
It's
because
so
Bobby Brown did the song for this one.
He did multiple songs actually yeah. for this movie. The soundtrack for Ghostbusters 2 is pretty legit.
I actually started listening to it after we watched it.
I did too. I was like, one day when
okay,
I got in the shower.
Let's do this.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to listen to the Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack. So yeah, if you all haven't listened to it, highly recommend it. It's a great 80s.
Absolutely. Sound. Bobby Brown has a lot of tracks on that.
Yeah, it's a great soundtrack.
Honestly, I forgot how many tracks Bobby Brown has actually been on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, the catchiest ones are Bobby Brown on this particular movie. Cheech Marin, he's the dock attendant who says, well, better late than never when the Titanic arrives.
I wonder why they didn't have Chong on there.
I don't know, just Cheech.
No I Chong. Think he's the most famous one. Cheech?
Maybe.
Cheech and Chong?
Yeah, I feel like.
Well, let us know the comments. Who's
who you
more
think
famous,
is more popular,
famous,
Cheech or Chong?
Or Chong?
And then Ben Stein is one of the city officials who mentions the slime shell around the museum at the meeting in the city hall.
I do remember that.
Did you catch Ben Stein? Yeah.
Yeah.
Him too.
Before the Ben Stein show.
Yeah. But, well, when did Ferris Bueller's Day Off come out? Was that before or after this movie?
I don't know.
He's definitely well known for Ferris Bueller.
Bueller. We're Let's looking see. That up, Rayo.
Ferris, 1986. So he would have already been somewhat well known.
So that
this
came
is
out.
89. So.
Okay, so that came out before.
Yes. So okay. People probably did recognize Ben Stein in that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
What do you think about this movie compared to the first one?
So I know just doing the research and stuff for this, it seems that a lot of people don't like it as much as the first one. And I agree. You can't ever recreate that true magic.
That lightning in a bottle.
Like, yes, from the first one. But I like the second one. You know, I think they still were able to tell a story that was different
yeah.
from the first one. A lot of people they're saying online, they're just like, well, it's redundant. They did the same things over and over. But I'm like, well, part of it is because they're Ghostbusters. Like, they
right.
go in and they remove
ghosts
and spirits and everything we've already named.
What else did you want them to do?
Exactly. And I know there's, yeah, like the pink ooze and everything. And I mean, I get it to a certain extent, but it was different in this case because we have a haunted painting in this one who, you know, basically entrances the leader of the art museum.
The guy,
curator,
yes.
I guess
yeah,
they call
the curator,
it. Yeah, the curator,
yes.
Anyway, that, you know, basically makes him into a big freaking weirdo. But, you know, we get Lewis back and Janine's little relationship I thought was fun.
And Lewis gets to become a Ghostbuster. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I did like that.
I'm a Ghostbuster. I'm a Ghostbuster.
And he's so excited. That's how we would all be, though.
I would, too. I'd be like, I'm a Ghostbuster.
Exactly. But you got the whole gang back. So I think that's really great, too. I mean, they didn't have to replace anybody. All the Ghostbusters came back.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, the fact that we got right at the beginning, Ray and Winston going to that birthday party and the I always like the little trick, you know, where they're just like, how big are they? And oh, they're like, what, 4 feet tall? And you just assume they're going to fight a ghost or something. And then it's a birthday party. I always like that little like twist, even though, you know, it's coming.
Right.
It's just a fun little gag right at the start of the movie that I like.
I honestly wish they would have done a third one to see where it would have gone.
Well, they just weren't happy with the performance of the movie. And I think I was reading that because of that, Bill Murray was just kind of like, wasn't interested in doing another one.
Well, now he's on the bandwagon now.
I mean, probably because it's been so long. There's still a bunch of nostalgia. People still love it after all these years. And maybe if they have the story right,
yeah,
bring him back.
Do you think Bill Murray's as big a star as he was?
People still know who Bill Murray is. The second you see him, you're like, it's Bill Murray. You know? You're never just like, what's that actor's name? Like, I can always get it's Bill Murray.
Right. And Dan Aykroyd.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Ernie Hudson. I feel like these mm-hmm. four people are iconic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, I mean, which one did you like better? First one or second one?
I mean, probably the first one. But I still really enjoy the second one.
I think I like the soundtrack better to the second one than I did the first one.
They do one in the soundtrack. You are.
I think the soundtrack is better than the first soundtrack.
Yes, they did really ramp it up with the soundtrack.
I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, you got Sigourney's even back.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, Sigourney Weaver came back. What did you think of her character? She has terrible luck when it comes to apartments. Have you noticed that?
I felt so bad. I'm like, of course the little ooze thing would get on the baby carriage. And she's just like, well, fuck. It happened again. You know? Like, it's just terrible. I feel bad for her. Poor Sigourney.
But, you know, maybe her and Venkman ended up tying the knot.
I like their relationship.
I wish they would have brought her back to, you know, give us closure on what happened with that.
I know. Yeah.
I wonder if she'll be in. We have not gotten to Ghostbusters Afterlife yet, so I'm hoping she's in that or makes a cameo.
Yeah, we're gonna catch up on all these and then go see the newest one when it comes out in theaters.
You know, their AMC is coming out with a proton pack book bag.
Of course they are.
So you can buy that at AMC.
Of course the AMC is. Why am I?
I think that's, and I think they're going to come out with a popcorn bucket.
I'm curious to see. Now, see, listen,
we were not
like popcorn bucket people, and then Disney started really amping it up at Disney World, right? And we started becoming popcorn bucket people, and we started buying these ridiculous things, and then AMC started doing it, and I'm like, well, now we're popcorn bucket.
It started with the Scream one. Cinemark did Scream.
And Robbie ordered
and
that.
And I was like, oh my God, I want that. It's somewhere. Over this way.
Oh, I can't reach it. It's back here. Yes, we started with the Cinemark one. And then we were like, why doesn't AMC do this? And then AMC had the cups.
Yes.
Which one of them, we have the cup back here. If you're watching the video, we have the cup. So we got the cup. Now we have a Taylor Swift bucket. Which is actually a really nice bucket.
We have an Aquaman bucket.
And we have an Aquaman. I can't reach the bucket, but we also have a matching cup.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
I mean, it was actually a better deal to get that.
It was.
So that's why we ended up getting that.
And the Taylor Swift one was out forever. And I was just like, I don't want to spend money on it. And then we got it for like $1. Like,
can you imagine all the people that bought it for like 14 bucks?
I know, sorry.
15 bucks. It was like $24.
At one point it was like 25. And I said, there's no way I'm spending that. Even though I like Taylor Swift, I'm not like obsessed with her. And then it was $1 or something because they were trying to get rid of them. And then we finally were like, okay, well, we'll do this one. Yeah. So we have a Taylor Swift bucket too.
So, but overall, I did like this movie. I liked it. I thought it was very entertaining. Mm-hmm. I thought it was one of those movies that I did put my phone down.
Yeah.
I think all Ghostbusters, I put my phone down because they're so entertaining.
They're funny.
I wish they wouldn't have toned down the adult humor, because that's one thing I think the first one and the second one missed. Yeah. Was all the innuendos, all the quick responses. I think the second one mm-hmm. is missing the.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not calling anybody dickless in the
right
second one.
Right.
You know.
I'm going to miss him.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But it is still, it's still a fun movie. It's got a lot going on and a lot of action, especially building up to the museum scene.
Yeah.
with the big battle. So
I'm glad they did bring back Slimer, though.
Yeah, he's a fun character.
I'm glad.
And he is iconic. I feel like when you think of Ghostbusters, he is one of the things you think of.
Oh, absolutely.
Is Slimer.
Absolutely.
And I mean, I don't, like I said, don't ever recall watching the cartoon. I'll have to check it out on YouTube and see if I remember anything about it, because I do not remember watching it. But I remember, like, the cartoon Slimer. And it's probably because, if I had to guess, I'm sure they had, like, toys and probably McDonald's and, you know what I mean? Like, around 89, going into the early 90s, I'm sure they had Slimer available for kids, because I distinctly always remember Slimer.
I'm sure I watched the cartoon. I can't remember watching the cartoon, mm-hmm. but I remember as a kid having, like, the Peter Venkman dolls and all that.
Oh, wow.
And I remember having Eco One. I remember having all of them.
The Ghostbusters car?
Yeah.
That's pretty legit.
I think I even had the house, too.
I don't know. I don't know what all they had for sale. We'll have to look that up. But, yeah.
But
I know there's probably
I think maybe we should start. Maybe we should watch the cartoons.
Yeah, we get 7 seasons, though. And it's on YouTube.
That's a lot to commit.
Yeah, that's why I was like, well, I'm not going
to. We're going to have to start that
later. I'm going to read about it, but I'm not going to, like, sit and watch it.
But yeah, I'm surprised about the guy from Full House.
Mm-hmm. I just thought that was a fun fact when I read it.
Yeah, very much.
I was like, well, that's cool.
Where would you rate this movie at?
I mean, this one, maybe more like a 7.
That's what I was going to say. I was either 7.5 or 7.
Yeah, I was leaning 7.5, 7. Yeah, I agree with that. Because I do really enjoy it. It's not as good as the first one. It's not as funny at times as the first one. But I think it does have good moments.
Would you, obviously, you'd rewatch it.
No, always.
Would you rewatch it again, even after this?
I mean, yeah, if it was just like, oh, let's just turn on Ghostbusters 2 or... You know,
I feel like we lean more towards Ghostbusters 1.
If I were going to pick one to actively, like, go get the Blu-ray for, I'd probably pick Ghostbusters 1. Yes,
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And I understand why Bill Murray was like, oh, I don't want to come back. Mm-hmm. But I understand.
Yeah, I get it. But yeah, it's still a fun little look into their lives. And I like that Dana's working at the art museum doing the restorations versus, you know,
yes,
give her a little bit of a different job. Of course, like you said, it comes back to bite her in the ass.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But, and I liked the curator.
The guy.
Yeah. And
I cannot think of his name.
Blanking on his name, but,
everybody knows.
It's just going to bother me. But I liked him, and I was reading, I think that the accent was like totally him coming up.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that was his entire, like, interpretation of the character. Which I thought was also fun.
Why didn't you just Google Ghostbusters 2 cast?
Because I was looking for his name. Janos Poha.
Okay.
Right? Janos?
Yeah.
I was looking for his character. It's Peter McNichol, but I was trying to remember his name.
Oh, okay. Janos. Gotcha.
Yes.
I gotcha.
Because his name was even kind of special.
Oh, I gotcha.
Like when he showed up at her door, like just randomly, and she's kind of just like, you're so fucking weird.
Get why are you even here?
Yeah.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, he was very good at being.
I think he made the character pop.
Yes, he's memorable. Mm-hmm. Yes. I love it. Like when they're like, where are you from? And then he's just like, what did he say? Like Brooklyn or
Brooklyn,
something.
Brooklyn.
I was just like, what?
Yeah.
It's so funny because you're just like, then why do you talk like that? It's bizarre. But yeah, I really liked his character. I thought it was a fun addition to have him on there. And yeah, there wasn't quite enough Lewis because I really liked Lewis in the first one.
He would just ramble on and on and on and on
about nothing.
And always, a lot of people didn't get it that he was the key master, even though he kept locking himself out of the house.
But he just would talk about nothing. And then the way he would just keep talking at Dana and she's already like fully in her apartment and he's still just having a conversation with her. It's so funny.
That's funny.
But I am glad he found some love with Janine or whatever.
I do think
whatever it truly is between the two of them, I don't know.
I do think they're a good couple. Yeah. I think they complement each other well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like she probably likes to talk a lot and he likes to talk a lot. And so there you go. They can talk a lot to each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do wish she had
she's
more.
She's
kind of
mean, though.
Well, yeah, she's very sarcastic.
But
I like Janine.
She's, I guess, different. Mm-hmm. With him.
But I also really like Janine with Egon too. So
did they date?
Yeah, I believe.
And
going we'll see what it is when we get to Afterlife. But yeah, I think so.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right.
But what else did you want to say about this movie? Any other favorite scenes or
I think one of the best scenes is when Bobby Brown's like, "Can I get a proton pack?"
Mm-hmm.
And then Egon's like, "No, you can't. Those are not a toy."
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the best ones.
And now it's literally a toy for like everybody,
right?
Like cosplay.
Man, there's so many people that walk around with these things.
Yeah,
and they're like 80 pounds.
Crazy.
And I'm just like, bro, how do you walk around a convention all day with this?
But they love it.
Yeah,
I like it too. It's always fun to see how creative people are.
What else? The thing about it is, this doesn't have one of those, you know how the first one, you have that scene, get her, and it always jumps out at you? Mm-hmm. What, in this one, what scene jumps out at you like that one?
I mean, as far as like a jump scare type
thing? Like,
or like...
The scene I'm talking about is so iconic. Get her, mm-hmm. You know, everybody knows, oh, stay close. Everybody knows that. But out of number two, which one... I guess when they're Slimer's driving the bus and the accountant gets on and he's like, "Oh, I didn't know you had your driver's license."
Mm-hmm.
And then,
yeah.
Then they're using the Empire State Building.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Statue of Liberty.
I mean, that's pretty iconic. And the song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's pretty iconic with the Statue of Liberty, especially when she like makes that first step.
Yes.
I think that's pretty iconic.
But do you think that's as iconic as Get Her?
I mean, no. I mean, I do think the first movie just overall has more memorable moments.
Right.
Yeah.
Any memorable moments you can think of?
I mean, I do like the scene where they're digging to try and see what's underground and like the cops keep showing
by,
up.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny watching them all just yell at each other and yell at the cops. And the way they interact, it just is, it's a good showmanship of like a Bill Murray moment, you know,
where Egon's just, like, "Oh, fine.
Mm-hmm. But the way they're just like, "Oh, this guy's on my back. And like, where have you been?" Like the whole, yeah, just, you know. They're saying they're digging for like telephone wires or something, and he's like, "It's down there," and then they act offended like they were given the wrong information. It's funny. I do like that scene.
I can see Bill Murray doing that.
Yeah, it like, just strikes me as very Bill Murray. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I still would rewatch it a million times. I mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, definitely go out, see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything else to say about it?
I don't think anything in particular. No.
Mm-mm. So.
Yeah, it's just fun.
We're going to continue with Ghostbusters 3.
Mm-hmm.
This is the female one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So.
I can't remember the actual name of it, but we'll have it by next time.
Yes, we're gonna do that. And then we're getting ready for Ghostbusters Afterlife. I'm really excited about that one.
Mm-hmm.
So let us know your favorite scene about Ghostbusters 2 in the comments.
What do you think about it?
What do you think? What's the best scene in the movie? What did you think of the soundtrack? What was your favorite song on the soundtrack?
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite song?
I do. I need to look at it.
I wonder if I can guess which one it is.
My favorite song is On Our Own.
Uh-huh.
Did you like that one?
That's...
That, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that is the most iconic.
I feel like it's very catchy when it comes on the scene or screen.
Yeah, I think that is the most iconic song on the soundtrack. So. I agree.
All right. Well, guys, please like, subscribe, mm-hmm. share our content. Mm-hmm. Definitely helps us out. Yep. If you can, write a review. Mm-hmm. We'd love that. Mm-hmm. And until next time, you guys stay spooky.
All right. Bye-bye.
You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast is produced and hosted by Robbie and Sammy Brooksby as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Podcast Network. Post-production and intro by Sammy Brooksby. Follow the show on Instagram at BoogeymanPod. You can also follow the Limitless Broadcasting Company at Limitless Broadcasting and your horror hosts at Robert1950 Studios and at The Samalam. We also have a TikTok at 1950 Studios. Email your creepy comments and spooky suggestions to us at boogeymanpod@gmail.com. Don't forget, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Have a horrific week!